The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
Good evening and welcome to Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, broadcasting from Mexico's cartel country from the Badlands beyond the Rio Grande. From here we break through the news blackout and the information blockade. Is it possible that there's really nothing going on in the entire world? Because let me tell you, the news worldwide is very quiet. Maybe other than the escalations in France where rioters and protesters are actually burning down the houses of mayors that want to advance globalism in their nation. Aside from that, the news is really ho-hum and blah. And are we to believe that there really is nothing going on in the world? No, this is the news blackout. So I'm going to tell you one very important thing that's going on. The presidential campaigns have started in earnest in my own home state of Iowa, where I'm not allowed. If you notice, former President Trump is in Des Moines. Jim Dean, owner of the Dean Classic Car Museum, where the Feenstra family picnic was held, pointed out everybody, Lieutenant Governor, Governor, Secretary of Agriculture, Treasurer, Attorney General, were all here. Okay, I'm going to comment on this. Iowa's having a Ron DeSantis rhino love fest. There's a world of difference between this rhinoism and modern victorious Christianity.
Never mentions the word addiction in certain company. Yes, she'll tell you she's an orphan after you meet her family. A lock of hair in her pocket. She wears a cross around her neck. Yes, the hair is from a little boy, and the cross is someone she has not met.
Oh,
and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Hey, I'm back. I'm back, baby. It's Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers with your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. Back on KKVV, at least for our morning Bible verse of the day. My longer form Monday night show, Living by the Sword, is still shortwave and internet only, but you can catch all the feeds on GospelGunslingers.com. In fact, today's show may be up at the very moment, this airs and you're hearing me. Let's look in the Word. We're in the book of Luke in the 5th chapter. The Lord Jesus has just begun his ministry. He's come out. He healed a leper and he told everybody, now be quiet about that. Don't tell everybody about that. But they noised it abroad. Jesus went back into prayer, verse 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And then we get to today's GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Luke 5:17. And I want you to hear what happens. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. How powerful is that? Sometimes, and it's a beautiful thing, the waters are stirred. The power of the Lord is present to heal. This is what we call the anointing, the tangible presence of God, the Shekinah glory. When the Spirit of the Lord manifests and is present and is disposed to heal, every minister that moves in gifts of healings, they learn early on, we learn early on, to perceive the anointing, to perceive the presence of God, and not to move forward without it. This is why a lot of times a healing minister will move into teaching. They'll move in and tell the stories from the Bible until faith starts to rise in the audience. And then, when they perceive that the power of the Lord is present to heal, that's when they move forward to lay hands on the sick. You know who did perceive that the power of the Lord was present to heal? The four crazy friends who brought the paralytic and ripped the roof off and lowered him down. It happens right here in Luke 5. But look who else was here. The religious people of Jesus' day. The Pharisees, that there were Pharisees and the doctors of the law sitting by. And what was their reaction to the anointing? Verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? And boy, were they shocked when the Lord Jesus told them what they were thinking. Verse 22, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Friends, let's not be like those Pharisees. Let's not begin to reason when the Lord's anointing is present, when his power, the power of God, is present to heal. If we reverence the presence of the Holy Spirit, if we reverence the anointing, we'll be amazed what miracles God will do. Well, that was the Black Crowes from 1990. I believe all of our Black Crowes tunes from tonight are from their 1990 album. A tremendous, lovely guitar riff on that. Preaching up on Rainbow Mountain, I was shocked how many hippie kids could pick out She Talks to Angels on an acoustic guitar. But a number of them played that for me, and I gotta say I was impressed. And their renditions were actually very, very good and faithful to the original. And the tune is really appropriate for tonight's conversation when we're talking about Randy Feenstra and all the Iowa Rhinos. Now, people that I like, and they're on my side, and some of them have really gone out of their way to help me to a certain degree. What they haven't done is halted the growth of government. What they haven't done is disestablished this 9/11 post-Patriot Act totalitarian government nanny state that we've had in the United States for 20 years or more. The growth of government in the 1990s was horrid on both sides of the aisle, and then after 9/11 and in the Bush presidency, it just took a quantum leap, and we went from a large government to a mega government. So this is what this tune's about. It's about a lovely little girl that looks vibrant, but the fact is she's a needle freak. People who have been delivered from drugs and have been around the drug culture and been hurt by the drug culture, some of them really hate this song and cannot stand to hear that guitar riff. My response to them was always this: it's not about the drug culture, it's about being in love with an addict. But maybe we'll hit it from another angle tonight. The song is also about emulations, which the Bible says is a work of the flesh. It's about somebody pretending to be like us, the group, the core of believers, those who are born again, the community of Christ. But they're not like us. They're emulators. So let's look at this, 5:19 Galatians. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Okay, that's obvious enough. And then it goes to idolatry, which smacks of Catholicism, right? Worshipping La Tia Maria, the Virgin Mother, the Queen of Heaven, the crucified Lord Jesus dead on the cross. Okay, and then it goes to another aspect of Catholicism, witchcraft, right? This is the vine of Sodom. And then it goes on hatred, variance. Are we right? Are we talking about the Irish yet? And then emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. You know, my friend just got convicted of sedition. Enrique Tarrio, Henry Enrique Tarrio, the most notorious Spanish-speaking African-American, Cuban-American, who's called, he's the most notorious racist in America because he led a movement that was trying to make America great again. Yep, convicted of sedition. Okay, so that's not really sedition. They call that sedition. But really, sedition is the rhino of today, those who allow the government to continue to grow. What about the Iowa Department of Transportation, which is full of eminent domain? It's the most powerful organization for the use of eminent domain and taking people's farms, land, property, whatever they want, really. Some of it for redevelopment. And they are the ones that issue the driver's license, which is key to voter identification. And so right here you have motor voter laws and all of that in this huge department. And thank you, Kim Reynolds, for going to bat for me and getting my driver's license reinstated and my vehicle tags. But has the DOT been dismantled? Has its power as a cancerous, enormous, malignant growth been at all abated? No, it just continues to get bigger and bigger. And the same with our fusion centers, and the same with our state police, the same with our police state, and the increase of laws. All that's got to be torn down. So Randy Feenstra took over the congressional seat in the northwest of Iowa, Steve King's old seat. And I like Steve, and he was my friend, even though he was a little bit Catholic himself. He finally got in controversy over his head and was primaried, and Randy Feenstra beat him. And Feenstra seems like a really nice guy. And, you know, he went to the Christian University there in northwest Iowa. He volunteers his time and still goes and teaches at that university. But here he was stumping this weekend for Ron DeSantis, Rob Sanctimonious, the rhino turncoat traitor who has betrayed Donald Trump and the Make America Great movement and cozied up to the old guard Republican wealthy donor class, if not directly to George Soros. And there are rumors that he's done that too. His state, Florida, where he governs, by the way, he slipped in a little secret law so that he can continue as governor while running for president. He doesn't have to bet the farm on running for president against the great Donald Trump. Not anymore. Not since he changed the rules. Okay, his state, Florida. They tell you, oh, Florida, we respect the Second Amendment, on and on and on. The fact is, the growth of government in Florida has marched on regardless. DeSantis has not dismantled the massive juggernaut of Florida state government. I don't believe it all. You see, this is emulations. I was there in Iowa in 2007 when there were massive ecumenical meetings between the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church, which has historically been very strong in Iowa from its German heritage, and Martin Luther was German. The German Protestant churches were the wellspring of many Iowa immigrants who brought Protestant America to the heartland, built it. So 490 years after 1517, when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Chapel in Wittenberg, Germany, there were a whole series of ecumenical meetings in Iowa, and I went to some of them. And what was it all about? Burying the hatchet between the Lutheran Church and the Catholic Church. Oh, they really weren't all that disagreed on the basic doctrines of salvation and this and that. And, oh, they really shouldn't have fought all this time. I don't know what's more disgusting, being in the room with Catholic priests who are known to be drunks and pedos, or being in the room where the population fawns over those weirdos. Well, I was in the room when those things happened, both of them, and I just got to tell you, it was the kiss of death for America, and it was the kiss of death for the widely, broadly based Protestant Christian faith. So maybe we just need a rock and roll band to tell us about it. Look, your little girlfriend is not joyful. She's not bubbly and bouncy. She is full of death and hopelessness. But she's on the needle, and the needle lies, and the needle makes her emulate you. Emulate vibrancy in life. Ye shall loathe yourselves. I'm Pastor Sam, and this is your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Ezekiel 36:31. And this is the path to being truly saved. Let's read it. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Oh, the seeker-friendly church gets so much mileage and so much action out of loving the lost and loving the sinner. But where do we take the sinner? When do we take the sinner to the point where they loathe themselves? When do we preach the word to the degree that they are convicted and condemned, and they plead guilty? They plead no contest. They plead that they have no recourse and that they are dead to rights, because they have to hit that rock bottom point before they can reach out for mercy. And if you don't think that this passage is about being saved, let's look at verse 26. 25 tells, from all your idols I will cleanse you. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. This is the opposite of what happened in Iowa in 2007, when the Lutheran churches got together with all the idolaters and decided that they really were all the same, and that they've really been the same for some centuries, and there should have never been a rift. Wrong, wrong, wrong. We must continue to protest and come out from idolatry and come out from Babylonian heathenism. Here the passage talks about being saved. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Okay, this is talking about being saved. This is a key passage on what it is to be saved. You don't just come around. You don't just learn the word a little bit. A person has to be convicted, condemned, realize that they have no recourse but to cry out for mercy and for the blood of Jesus. And that is when something else happens. Verse 27, we must not loiter on theoretical Christianity, intellectual Christianity. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And then it talks about dwelling in the land and building the old waste places. It comes through being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's not going to happen until a person gets to that point of total bankruptcy. Bancarrota. They realize that they have no other recourse but to cry out for mercy. And that's when we receive a heart of flesh in place of our heart of stone. There are too many stony-hearted Christians among us.
Feeling dirty laundry, sending sickness on down the line. don't you think I would? Don't you think I'd tell you, baby, if I only could? Am I acting crazy? Am I just too proud? Am I just plain lazy?
Will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Thus says the Lord. I'm Pastor Sam, and this is your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Isaiah 13 and 12. The whole world is worried about overpopulation. Well, guess what? Everybody's going to get their wish. As extermination events come on the earth. This is the day of the Lord, spoken of by the prophet Joel, many other Bible books and Bible authors, but nevertheless, the day of the Lord is very misunderstood. So I'll make it really simple for you, reading here from Isaiah 13, this is 5. They come from a far country, that is the armies, come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord comes at the head of armies from the end of the heaven? Okay, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. What is the day of the Lord? It is the coming of destruction from the Almighty. Maybe this is why Ricky Bobby and so many professing Christians like the Christmas Jesus best. They like the baby Jesus. They like the angels saying peace on earth and goodwill to men, and not the Lord showing up with the weapons of his indignation and the weapons of his wrath. Let's read on. Verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath. It's cruel. It's cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. This is the purpose of the day of the Lord, is to rip out the tares. The angels gathering the tares and putting them in bundles to be burned. The Lord shows up with his armies and the weapons and 10,000s of his saints to destroy the wicked out of the land. Verse 11, and I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. There was a lot of arrogancy of the proud at the Feenstra family picnic. One more thing I want to mention here, while we're talking about the armies of the Lord's wrath, this is not just about people. Verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Verse 13, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. And what's the result of it all? That a man cannot be found. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. When the Lord's scourge of extinction comes on the earth, overpopulation will be a thing of the past. Wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen, willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad, pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges?" In 1 Corinthians 9:7, the apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world? Or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something. Someday very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans Preferred.
Oh!
I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. Why was the Lord's prophet so alone, so isolated in cartel country? Because of the spiritual decay in his own blessed homeland. Being in a natural desert is one thing, but being in a spiritual desert is actually far worse. And when he talks about these lonely birds, these are very often euphemisms for spiritual creatures, for the wild beasts that the Lord Jesus was with during his 40 days of fasting. Why did Job, as a prophet, say, "I am a brother to dragons"? And do you know that the Lord will make a place for even those doleful creatures to dance? Isaiah 34:14. And the satyr shall cry to his fellow. Isaiah 13:21. This verse I'll read in its entirety because it's a passage where we've already been studying this week. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. Am I too satirical? Can you stomach my cruel mockery of the wicked? I just insist on having a little bit of fun. But while we're talking about these doleful creatures, I just want to touch again on our theme for this week, the black crows. Because the raven is a creature often referred to in the Bible. There was a raven on the ark, and the raven insisted to be let out of the window. At least the masculine of the species did. It went out of the ark and did not return. And of course, I believe that this was the Leviathan. I believe that this was the male and the original dragon. You can watch my Dragon Lancers series on YouTube if you want to know more about the raven. But I wanted to talk about the ravens of England, the famous ravens of the Tower of London. Do you know there's a royal raven master who has royal garments and cares for the ravens and feeds them? There are a number of legends about the ravens, that if the ravens ever depart from the Tower of London, that the Tower of London will turn to dust and the monarchy will be abolished. Just last week, the latest monarch of the great British Empire, their global empire, was crowned, King Charles III. And so many laws were changed having to do with Catholicism. There were strong anti-Catholic laws that would have prohibited Charles from ever taking the crown, having married a Catholic in Camilla, the queen consort, having converted to Islam, many, as assorted Englishmen have told me, he did decades ago. Many titles and oaths were changed by parliamentary action before this coronation, and Charles is now no longer the defender of the Protestant faith, he's the defender of all the faiths. These are the abominations that drive the Lord's prophets into the desert.
ever came. And sorry ain't nothing to me. I'm gone and that's the way it must be. So please, I've done my time. Loving you is such a crime. You won't find me down on my knees. Oh, no, no, no. Won't find me over backwards, baby. Just a please. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Once I'm seeing things for the first time, I'm seeing things for the first time. Seeing things for the first time.
Like those Black Crowes backing vocals from the Soul Gospel Choir. I like it a lot, and a lot of preachers hear my show and they say, you play secular music? Why would you do that? They don't like it at all. That tune opens with an accusation of witchcraft, something the Bible is full of, but the unbelieving preachers of today, very few of them even consider or even resist. Yet, here in the world, people still believe, oh, I found a nice girl, and lo and behold, she was all tangled up in witchcraft. And that's what happens in this very tune. I would also like to point out that a lot of modern music, a lot of secular music, a lot of music of the world is heavily influenced by Christian music, church music, and gospel music. And two things you'll hear in the Black Crowes is these gospel choirs along with the use of the Hammond organ, two things that are staples of church music. And during the time that the white American Pentecostal church had fallen deeper and deeper into despair, the Black church was largely faithful in stewarding the gospel, the full gospel of Pentecost. That is, until a huge COINTELPRO operation, a government and FBI operation, to destroy all those small inner-city Pentecostal churches that had labored for decades, some of them, and kept the light of the gospel burning in some of the darkest hoods in the biggest cities in America. They found him a patsy in the person of my friend, Dr. Abraham L. Kennard, convicted him of running a Ponzi scheme. Really, the whole thing was an FBI setup, and he did 17 and a half years in the pen, and even to this day was released under a gag order that he's not supposed to talk about NIIC, Network International Investment Corporation. He's not even supposed to talk to anybody, any of the preachers that were involved in the network. Some 2,500 small inner city churches were absolutely smashed by the FBI in this operation. And when it was time for a new iteration of music in the world, what was taken, what was used? Black vocal gospel choir music. They even brought the singers out, and they're right there on the Black Crowes video, along with the Hammond organ. So sadly, we're in a place where the world seems to know more about faith and the Bible and the sorcery that we have to resist than sometimes the preachers know, or more than they're at least willing to admit. You know who had the very first salt and pepper church? That is a black and white mixed congregation in the southern state of Georgia. It was none other than my friend Mother Mary Jenkins, known as Mama Jenkins. I've got a great book here about her that I'm reading, and she was a friend of mine and a mentor of mine until she died at 102 years of age. This book is called Mama's Amazing Adventures, Mary Mama Jenkins, the spiritual granddaughter of Smith Wigglesworth. And yes, Smith Wigglesworth discipled her when she was a young child until she was a grown woman, and then also set her into ministry. And in 1937, she started the very first mixed congregation church in Georgia, and as a woman pastored it. This woman, she was mighty in faith and mighty in miracles, famously separating Siamese twins. This is a great book if you can get a hold of it. I've only just begun to read it. But this is a person who took me and other young white preachers and sent everybody else away and sat with us and taught us about the miraculous, taught us about the things of God, knowing that it was a lost generation that we were integrantes of. We were members of a generation that did not know about the true faith, did not know about the power of God. And I just want to thank the Lord for a few black preachers that took time to teach me. Because ye trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. And this is what the rhinos are doing. I'm Pastor Sam with your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. And we're almost to it. This is Isaiah 30. That was from verse 12. And let's look at verse 15. In returning in rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. We could have just enforced our own law. We could have just reversed the growth of government, according to what Ronald Reagan spoke, a government which has already, he said in 1980, by some indications, exceeded the consent of the governed. Yeah, it had definitely exceeded the consent of the governed. So here's the Attorney General, here's the Secretary of Agriculture, they're all partying with Randy Feenstra and with Rhonda Sanctimonious. Look here, you hooligans. You could have just enforced the law. You could have executed your duties in your office. But no, you wanted to do it the hard way and allow the creeping expansion of tyranny and totalitarianism. And this is what will be the result. Your armies, this is your verse of the day, Isaiah 30:17. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign upon a hill. When the extermination from God comes, when God raises up enemies to judge his people, the horror of that extermination will continue until, I believe that it's the Geneva Bible's translation that says, as a ship's mast upon a hilltop. The King James says here, till ye be left as a beacon on the top of a mountain and as an ensign on a hill. If you've ever seen war footage of a hillside that's been completely battered by artillery until just twisted crags of burnt and splintered limbs is all that's left of the trees that were on that wooded hillside, this is what the Lord is saying. Only one battered flag on top of the hill will remain when his scourge comes, when the enemy is raised up to judge the Lord's holy people. People act like I'm an anomaly because I live in cartel country, because I live in a dangerous and lonely desert among doleful creatures and venomous beasts, so that I can continue to broadcast and continue to bring you the Word of God. The fact is, extermination will come on the whole of the Lord's holy nation, of all His holy nations, but especially the United States of America, because of our backsliding, because we would not do our duty, because we would not punish the wicked, because we have allowed lawlessness to abound, even as law enforcement's a growth industry. Just days ago, there was gunfire at the Reynosa Far Bridge across the Rio Grande into Texas, and I'm going to play you the audio from that. In the No Holds Barred segment, we may actually get into the rest of the story and what took place there at the Reynosa Far Bridge, the how, the why, and the President of the Republic visiting the city of Reynosa and visiting his own customs house only yesterday with the Secretary of Defense, General Luis Crescencio Sandoval, and the Secretary of the Navy and Marine Corps of the Mexican Republic. I have it on good authority that the U.S. Customs House was struck by bullets from this very firing incident. So in the first video, you're going to catch the opening parts of the gunfight. Obviously, there are numerous shooters at this point, and the wild automatic fire that the cartels are famous for. It's actually dash cam video from a big rig that was on top of the bridge, so the gunfire erupts here and there, and then at a pause in the gunfire, the trucker actually hits his trailer brake button so that he can move his rig a little bit, as if that would help. You know, he's already stuck in traffic, but that's the final psh sound that you hear, is him disengaging his trailer brakes. Here we go. And then here's the second video. The second video is the military cracking down. The Mexican military runs a lot of GMC pickup truck patrol technicals that have a place in the back in the bed for some soldiers to be transported. They generally have an armored turret on top for a light machine gun or sometimes a heavy, generally a 7.62 mil. And a lot of those trucks, the truck itself is level 4 rifle rated armor. In the video, you can see that green army technical chasing, and they're right on the bumper of a white pickup truck, which is the cartel gun truck, and the Mexican soldier just has excellent fire discipline, short bursts, da-da-da-da, and you can hear him just go ting as he's shooting this pickup right through the back, and there were at least 5 people killed and 8 injured. I have it on another source that there may have been 23 killed. Nevertheless, this was a serious incident, and right here's the audio of the Mexican military cracking the whip and taking down these gunmen. Let's do one more news article before we get into the no-holds-barred final commentary section. This is from mercopress.com. Lithium exporters announce huge merger in Argentina. And of course, this is all for the benefit of China. And this is socialism. Socialism causes national companies and elimination of competition and any free market forces. Those forces, of course, being what made America great. Let's read from mercopress.com. Argentina's 2 only lithium exporters, I think that means their only 2 lithium exporters, Allkem, Australia, and Livent, LTHM, have announced a multi-billion dollar merger. The companies operating in Catamarca and Jujuy will launch a new company valued at 10.6 billion U.S., it was reported. Always socialists in the construction of a monopoly. Site cost savings, and it's right here in the article. The merger provides for significant expected operating synergies of approximately $125 million U.S. annually pre-tax and non-recurring capital savings of approximately $200 million. I comment that it's never really about cost savings. It's about central control and building a monopoly, which then can then be part of the tyrannical police state. Earlier on, the article talks about the cheddar, the production of all the lithium to feed it straight to China. Reading from the article, the merged company will aim to achieve an annual production capacity of approximately 250 kilotons of lithium carbonate equivalent, LCE, by 2027. Returning to Mexico, let's take off the gloves now and enter into our no-holds-barred commentary section. One final blowout before we close out with the Black Crowes hard to handle. I'm going to tell you what really happened on the Mexican border. This was a cartel-ordered attack, and just like the Hashishim assassins of another day, these cartel hitmen were ordered to their death. I believe the order was given by Cabeza de Vaca himself. If you drive around Mexico, there are brand new billboards up, and this is the hashtag, Mexico piensa con la cabeza, and it has the cow's head symbol of Cabeza de Vaca, his family crest, really, his political chop. And like so much of the Spanish language, there is some innuendo and some doble entendre in that statement, but basically what it means is Mexico's thinking about Cabeza de Vaca being the head. They're thinking about that Mexico as a nation is thinking about pushing forward Cabeza de Vaca, the famed criminal and narco governor, to be the president of the republic. This is not the voice of the people, but it is the voice of the swamp and the establishment and the wealthy elite and the CIA. So in order to stir the pot and to push forward that there's a border issue that needs to be handled militarily, there was a suicide attack against the American Aduana or Customs building, and those cartel gunmen were shot down by military troops on patrol. Just a few days after this incident, President Andrés Manuel of Mexico came to the north of the country, came to the Reynosa border, came to the Reynosa Aduana or Customs headquarters, and did so with the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of the Navy and the Marine Corps, along with the new governor of Tamaulipas State, Americo Villarreal. And what did they announce? That security is a priority and that these cities will be rebuilt. Cities that have fallen into dilapidation and decay under the old government, the Cabeza de Vaca government. Now, he installed a lot of new surveillance equipment and cameras and things like that, but the streets are in horrible shape. They don't drain. They're full of potholes. There's just brand new aluminum posts with cameras that do absolutely nothing but surveil the population. And so some infrastructure in these northern communities, which are heavily industrialized. There's a lot of factories, there are a lot of jobs, there's a lot of commerce, and a lot of vehicles crossing into the USA, bringing agricultural products and manufactured items. Just understand that this is a full-blown propaganda war where the cartels in Cabeza de Vaca, the narco ex-governor that would like to be president, are trying to build up that there's a security situation that does not in reality exist.
Calls the mama, I'm sure all the hand and I just around. Action speaks louder than words, and I'm a man, a great experience. I know you got another man, but I can love you better than him. Take my hand, don't be afraid, I'm gonna prove every word I say. I'm advertising love for free, so you can place your ad to me. Once I come along and down by the dozen, I ain't nothing but you. Let me light your candle, calls a mama. I'm sure all the hand and I'm just around. Candle calls a mama, I'm sure all the hand and I'm just around. Hard, hard to handle now. Candle calls a mama, I'm sure all the hand and I just around. Yeah, so all the hand and I. Oh yeah, baby, a good love hand. Baby, baby, I'm a good love hand. I need good love. I got my hands.
The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.